beginning the reading of the Word this morning, are very gratified in how many people got our tapes of June 1st, the Sunday morning as well as the Sunday evening messages. Tonight, again, we'll be continuing in the book of Ephesians, and we're in one of those rather difficult parts as we were last week, but I trust it'll be helpful to you, and we're delighted how many people are attending the Sunday night services, and we hope that you'll be here this evening as we study once again in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels unto the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, youths in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and gifted in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's food, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of them they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. And God will bless to us this portion which we have read from his holy word. As we have mentioned, we are continuing our studies in one of the great Old Testament prophetic books. But our messages are not intended to be prophetic in content, but rather lessons from the life of this man called Daniel. If you noticed in the bulletin this morning, the title given this morning, A Man Touched by God. But I'm wondering this morning if you have an appreciation for the Word of God which you are holding in your hand. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven, the psalmist declared, Psalm 119, verse 89. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, Mark 13, 31. Have you ever considered the gravity of these words found in Psalm 138 in verse 2? Here's what it is said. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now when you consider the greatness of the name of God, and yet he considers his word higher than his name, I trust that every one of us is engaged in a daily dose of the Word of God. It's the greatest activity you can be engaged in. And following right on the heels of this is the privilege of prayer. Now, you got that for bonus. That isn't my message at all this morning. As we begin this message this morning, I want to give you a quotation from Dr. J.J. Jolett, and this is what he says, and I'm quoting, "The path over which a sermon must travel to produce action is, one, enlighten the mind, two, captivate the judgment, three, arouse the conscience, four, conquer the will." And then he goes on to say, you see, a person moved to tears and shaking with emotion under the message, that person is aroused and stirred. But the one thing needful for those persons is to yield, to obey, to act. End of quote. I don't know why it is, but often people, when they come under the sound of the ministry of the Word of God, temporarily they're impressed. But if you would question them 60 minutes after they have left the service, most of what they have heard has been forgotten. Now, I hope that won't be true today. Once again, I want to remind you of the two basic truths that are taught to us in the book of Daniel. The first is this: there is a God in heaven. We have that mentioned no less than 5 times in chapter 2 alone. The other great truth that is taught in the book of Daniel, among many others, but this is a great one, is God is the Most High. And that is mentioned no less than 13 times throughout the pages of this particular book of the Old Testament. And I would remind us all this morning that this is the God with whom we have to reckon. This is the God with whom we have to do. Now, in the book of Daniel, we learn mostly about the man Daniel and his message. There's no doubt about it. Daniel stands out as one of the most outstanding characters of the Old Testament, in fact, of the entire Bible. He was exposed to tremendous temptations of the flesh, and he had every opportunity to be spoiled. Yet through it all, he remained pure and humble. It's obvious that Daniel must have enjoyed the blessings of a godly training in his youth. In all probability, Daniel was still a teenage young man when he entered into that palace of that king in Babylon. Now, the Bible does not tell us, but I suspect that Daniel's training in his youth was somewhat similar to that given to young Timothy. You remember what Paul said about Timothy? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Do you notice he had a goodly heritage? He had a godly heritage. Then Paul also mentions about Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Daniel was a man who remained absolutely unspotted in the midst of luxury, lust, and licentiousness. Someone has said Daniel's headquarters were in a palace, but a palace about as filthy as a pigsty. And I think he was absolutely right. Actually, we can say that the purity of Daniel is probably shown forth more because of the background of impurity in which he lived. Now, while there are many things recorded about this man Daniel in this book of the Old Testament, there is one item that I want to talk about this morning that I think that as in a casual reading we might overlook. It is recorded 5 times in the book of Daniel. We're going to look at all 5 of them this morning. How this man received a touch from the Almighty. God touched him to make him see. God touched him to give him skill. God touched him to make him stand. God touched him to make him speak. And God touched him to make him strong. Now, because God touched Daniel, Daniel was a man of purpose, of perception, of purity, of prayer, and of power. And I want all to know this morning that this man had the touch of God upon him because his trust and confidence was in the Almighty God. Now, that's all introduction. Let's go to chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 18. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 18. And I suggest that this first touch is the touch of understanding. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 18. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. And class, read with me the next 4 words. But he touched me and set me upright, and he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. Now, I have to explain the setting of these particular verses which we have read. If we were privileged to read these words, we would find that Daniel was privileged to receive a great prophetic vision of tremendous significance. But he didn't understand. He couldn't figure it out. And suddenly there appeared a figure like a man, an angel, who spoke with a human voice. And that voice called upon Gabriel, God's interpreting angel, and to give Daniel a clear understanding of the vision that he had seen. Ladies and gentlemen, there are several places in the Word of God where people were overcome with awe and dread as they stood in the presence of deity. Moses in Exodus chapter 3 stood in awe at the burning bush. Isaiah saw his own sinfulness as he stood in the presence of the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. What happened to Ezekiel? He fell flat on his face as he saw one with the likeness of the Lord of glory, Ezekiel 1 and 28. Now, there was good reason for this, that these men stood in awe at contact with a heavenly being. You remember what God said in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 20, "There shall no one see me and live." And how sinful the human heart must be that when it stands in the presence of a divine being, that men should be so completely awe-stricken. I'm wondering, as I look at this congregation this morning, if we have ever stood in the presence of God and allowed it to expose us for what we really are. Huh? Are you a man? Are you a woman of unclean lips like Isaiah? How about Job? You know what he said? When he got in the presence of God, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth." Job 40 and verse 4. Oh, the Word of God exposes us. You say, "Mr. Pilon, how do you know it?" Let me tell you. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Listen, when God starts exposing us for what we are, you cannot hide from him. And yet, that same God who knows us inside out and upside down loves us. "Oh Lord, thou hast known me, thou hast searched me and tried me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." Psalm 139, 1 and 2. Did you ever hear of anybody that could know your thoughts before you think them? That's God. But it was a mere touch of an angel which restored Daniel from what seemed to be a helpless condition to have sufficient strength to hear the message of God. But you know, there's also a message here for unsaved, because I'm looking into the faces and the eyes of some people who are unsaved this morning. And if you think Daniel was weak, you're weaker. Let me give you the description. And these are good words. For when we were yet without strength, that's an unsaved person, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 5:6-9. You see, God wants everyone here to understand this morning that first of all, you have a need of salvation. And God has provided that salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of his beloved Son. And the living Christ wants to come into your life and save your soul. You see, if you go on the way you are now, you're lost. And you're going straight to hell. Thank God, looking in the eyes of a lady right now who just 3 weeks ago in my office, something changed. She invited the Lord Jesus into her life, and she was born again. She was saved. Oh, she was weak. But God came in and poured in his salvation and his strength. Listen, you better listen to the message of the gospel this morning. You may not have the opportunity of hearing it ever again. But to those who are saved this morning, I think the words of the psalmist are appropriate here. Remember what the psalmist said? I will hear what God the Lord shall speak, for he shall speak peace unto his people and to his saints. Psalm 85:8. Daniel experienced the touch of understanding. But there's another one. Go to chapter 9, please. Verse 21. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 21. Here we have the touch of unction. Yea, Daniel 9 and verse 21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me, O Daniel, I am come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Now, if you would have taken time this morning to read the entire portion, you'd be made aware of the fact that Daniel's prayer hadn't even been completed before he got an answer. He'd already received an answer from heaven. Notice verse 21 again. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer. You know, that reminds me of those lovely words that so many of us know in Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, will they hear. But how was it that Daniel received such a speedy answer? Well, look at verse 19. I think it gives the answer. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. This is his prayer. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. You see, here was Daniel pleading in the presence of God with humility and contrition. Daniel was intent. Daniel was urgent. And ladies and gentlemen, this brought immediate action from God on his part. An on-the-spot answer. Believe me, a child of God is not far from heaven who prays like Daniel did. He really prayed. But there's something very interesting here, and that's the time factor when he prayed. Look at verse 21 again. He was making his prayer at the time of the evening oblation. Now, I want to give you a little explanation about that. If you have ever read the study of Daniel, and we tried to give it in our introductory message 3 weeks ago, Daniel and his friends and many others were captives in this heathen land. There was certainly no worship being conducted in the name of the God Jehovah. What's more, in the city of Jerusalem, the temple of God had been destroyed. And even the altar didn't exist. But now notice, even though there were no temple or altar, everything was desolate. Still in Daniel's heart, there was an altar of personal dedication. And at the hour when sacrifices would have been made in Jerusalem, what was Daniel doing? He was on his knees in the presence of God. And he was offering himself, I believe, in picture, as a personal living sacrifice. Does that tell you anything? That tells me volume. Now, the evening sacrifice, I suggest that it pictures that there's only one way in which a sinful man can come to God. And how is that? Through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. No other way. That's why the Lord Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. But let me give you a further suggestion. I believe the evening sacrifice also tells us that there is no approach to God but through blood sacrifice. And what does the writer to the Hebrews say? "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest." How? By the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. You see, when Daniel sought God on divinely provided grounds, God answered at once. And ladies and gentlemen, the distance between heaven and earth is no longer than it takes a penitent person and an honest heart to call upon God through faith in Christ Jesus. And I would remind you, the only way that we can experience that blessing in our lives, the blessing that Daniel experienced, was to give ourselves wholly to the Word of God and in prayer. That's what Daniel did. You see, Daniel lived a holy life. He prayed. And my Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Well, we thought of the touch of understanding, and we thought of the touch of unction. Let's go to chapter 10 for another one. And verse 10. Here we have the touch of undergirding. Daniel 10:10. "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and the palms of my hands." Now, once again, God had given Daniel a very significant prophetic vision. And the effect upon him was that he lost all his strength. In fact, notice Daniel's own words back up in verse 8. "Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me." Now, as before, God sent his ministering angel to touch his servant. Without doubt, this was the touch of God through his angel. And we should bear in mind, too, that God sent his ministering angel to a man of prayer and of faith. But now I want to tell you, this particular touch was altogether different than the previous one. In this particular case, Daniel had been praying for 3 weeks. And I suppose Daniel wondered, why doesn't God answer me now? Well, look at verse 12. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word." Oh, what a lesson for those who are here who know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Notice those words, underline them. "Thy words were heard." And even though Daniel's words were heard, he didn't get an immediate response. The child of God, the answer may sometimes be delayed, but that doesn't mean there's going to be denial. I've needed that more in the last 60 hours than I've needed it in my whole lifetime. I'm speaking to myself. Thy words were heard. Oh, let me assure you, as I repeat it for my own benefit, God hears. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He hear us, we whatsoever we ask, we have the petition which we have asked of Him. 1 John 5:14-15. And let me tell you, if you and I desire the will of God, and if you and I have confidence in the wisdom and the power of God, we will get an answer from the throne of God. You know what the writer to the Hebrews says? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. You see, when God's will becomes our will, we are enabled to express our minds boldly, with freedom of speech, and we come into His presence without embarrassment and without fear. Now, we may not get an immediate answer to our petition. It's comforting to know God hears. And the timing of the answer is God's, not ours. Someone said, as a matter of fact, the answer may be long in coming, but as in a matter of faith, it's already done. I like that. Daniel prayed for 3 full weeks. And though he received no answer from God, he was given assurance that his prayer was heard in heaven. The touch of understanding. The touch of unction. The touch of undergirding. But now we have the touch of utterance. Notice verse 16, chapter 10. And behold, one like unto the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, and said unto him who stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Do you remember what David prayed? O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. You see, without the touch of God in our lips, we would not be able to say the things that glorify God. Now, do you remember a few moments ago I mentioned this man Isaiah? God was looking for a man to speak for him. And you remember when God approached Isaiah, what he said? Woe is me, for I am undone. Behold, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. But it doesn't stop there. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 6, we read this. Then flew one of the seraphim, who had in his hand a coal taken with tongs from off the altar. And Isaiah says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. And when that happened, Isaiah spoke for God. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I have to speak for God, I get weak. You don't think so, but I do. You ever get kind of weak when you have to talk to that fellow who works with you, or that lady, huh? They see you every day. You've got to give them a witness. But you know, when we have been touched by God, and when we are men and women of prayer and faith like Daniel, then we receive the touch of utterance, and we'll be able to speak for God. Now what happened to Daniel? Well, notice in the middle of verse 16. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. You see, the touching of the lips is for the purpose of enabling us to speak God's message to others, and also enabling us to speak in our own private communion with God.
I've got to hurry. The touch of understanding, the touch of unction, the touch of undergirding, the touch of utterance, but now last, the touch of undertaking. Notice verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Here was Daniel once again, left oh so weak, and once again he received the divine touch which imparted to him physical strength. You remember what the psalmist said? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27, verse 1. And then the psalmist declares, too, in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and, what's the next word, class? Strength, a very present help in trouble. Oh, listen, the need of the hour is a fresh touch from heaven. And God wants to touch every individual if we desire it. Oh, he won't send an angel to touch us. You know how he'll touch us? By the Holy Spirit through the Word. And the Word will touch. Give us strength. Now don't move. I want to give a word to the unsaved who are here this morning. Listen to me closely. God will never touch you until you reach out first and touch him. You say, now what do you mean by that? You see, when a person is unsaved, as I've already mentioned, they're lost. And God has provided salvation for the lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. That's why Christ came. That's why he died. That's why he was buried. That's why he rose again. And he now, the living Christ, offers you his salvation. But you got to reach out and take it. And when you reach out by an act of faith and take it, you touch him. And you touch him by faith. And he imparts to you eternal life. My unsaved friend, the Lord Jesus wants to come into your life today. But you got to let him come in. You can shove him out. Wouldn't it be nice if someone this morning gave the touch of faith? Invited him into your life. And brother, I'll tell you one thing. Once you touch him, he'll touch you. Right, Joanne? Yes, sir. You see that lady's face lighted up like a neon sun. My friend, you need the Lord. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. And God wants to fill your life and make you ready for heaven. And while you're on your way, he wants to give you that fivefold touch that Daniel received so that you can live for the glory of God. May God bless his word to our hearts for his name. Amen.